now with the latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 31. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. This is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. And it seems to be the week when everyone's going back to work, but we've been here the whole time. Lots to talk about in this edition of the Tech Guide podcast, including the new Amazon Kindle Paperwhite, which is finally available for Australian users, the new headphones from Rapstar 50 Cent, and the Windows 8 tablet from Asus. In our news reports, we'll reveal a printer that no longer requires printer cartridges. We'll also take a look at who's winning the battle for smartphone supremacy and take a look at a Kickstarter product that didn't quite match the description. So much so, backers are demanding a refund. And we'll finish it all off by answering your questions with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Plenty to talk about, so let's jump right in. Well, the Kindle would have to be the world's most popular e-reader. The device from Amazon has been around for a few years and it's gone through quite a few iterations. The very latest version of the product is called the Kindle Paperwhite. It was announced late last year in the US, but it's only become available to Australian customers in the last few days. And Tech Guide has already got their hands on the product and has done a complete review at techguide.com.au. Now, it looks very much like the previous model of the Kindle, the new Paperwhite, but it does get its name, the Paperwhite name, because of the nature of the screen. It appears a lot whiter, whereas the previous models had a bit more of a grey appearance to them. But one thing the Paperwhite brings that the previous models did not have, and that is a built-in light. The previous Kindle models, like normal paper, had that appearance with the e-ink screen, and like real paper, required as much light on the screen as possible. So if you're reading in bed, you'd actually need the lamp or a reading light. By the same token, if you're reading in bright sunlight, there was no glare, so it's very easy to read. Now, in the Paperwhite's case, there's no longer the need to have a separate light source. It has its own built-in light. With proprietary technology, actually the light is directed inwards rather than out. As a normal tablet or smartphone with a backlight, the light actually comes out of the screen and usually lights up half the room, may disturb the partner next to you in bed or in people, someone sharing a room, maybe on a flight, the person next to you may be dazzled by the bright screen. But with the Paperwhite, what we liked about it was the fact that the light is directed in. So the only thing that's illuminated is the actual screen you're looking at. So it's not going to bathe the whole area that you're in with light. It is a touchscreen device as well. This is the screen. There are no buttons on the outside of the product. So you totally control the product through the touchscreen, which is quite responsive. You can access not only your own library of books, but also the Amazon Kindle store. There are other features that are found on the Paperwhite apart from its built-in light. There's a new feature called X-ray, which gives you like a top-down view of the book, where it's set, characters, topics of interest, things like that. Another feature that we liked as well was the time-to-read feature, which is found in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. So what that does, that gives readers an indication of how long it's going to take them to read the chapter they're on. Or the rest of the book. So it gives readers an opportunity to think, well, do I have enough time to read one more chapter or should I just wrap it up right now? We found that feature very, very useful. As the other models of the Kindle, you can make your font bigger, smaller, You can even change the text size, which is actually making the font bigger and smaller, I've just realized. So, yeah, you've got a choice of fonts and also the size of those actual fonts with the text. Now, it, as I said, it is now available to order through the Amazon website. Now, Kindles are normally available in Australia through either Big W or Dick Smith. They've did a roaring trade over Christmas. No indication as to when the new Kindle Paperwhites are available in store in Australia, but they are available, as mentioned, on the Amazon website. There are two models to choose from. There's the Kindle Paperwhite 3G model and the Wi-Fi only model. Now, the 3G model obviously will work anywhere, even if you are not in a Wi-Fi network. So if you happen to be anywhere in the world where there is a 3G network, you'll be able to connect to Amazon, the store. You can download a book in less than a minute. If you are inside a Wi-Fi, if you have the Wi-Fi model, that connectivity will only occur when you're in a wireless network. So if you're a traveler and you want don't want any way, you always want to be connected to the store, maybe the 3G option is for you. Otherwise, you can maybe opt for the cheaper Wi-Fi model. Now, the Kindle Paperwhite 3G, there are two models, actually. There is the full-price model. The Paperwhite 3G is $199 US plus shipping costs, which may add another $30 or $40 to the price. But there's also a special offers model, which is $20 cheaper. That may offset the costs of the shipping. But with special offers means that when the Kindle is in screensaver mode, that is rather than it being just a generic image, it is an offer, an ad for Amazon, some kind of digital offer. And also at the bottom of the home screen, there is a small strip ad along the bottom of the screen. That's part of the special offers package. Now, it doesn't affect the reading experience at all, having these special offers. If that does annoy you, you can actually buy the version with no special offers, which is $20 more expensive. If you do buy the special offers, and I've actually done this with a couple of Kindles that I've had, you can actually switch off. You can pay the added $20 down the track if you want to switch off those special offers. It's just simply a matter of sending your going onto Amazon, checking your registered devices, and adding the extra cost to get rid of the special offers. They'll also do that for you if you want to go through their help desk. They can do that for you also. The Wi-Fi models start at $119 with special offers, and again $139, so $20 more to without those special offers, plus the shipping costs. Do not forget that, because if and when these are available in Australia in store, prices may be slightly more expensive than that. It may still be cheaper for you to order this through the Amazon website. If you want to read a full review, you can do so at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, when it comes to musicians and headphones, there are a few out there who are putting their name to various models of headphones. A few come to mind. Probably the most famous is Dr. Dre. There are others as well. But the latest musician to join the ranks is 50 Cent, the rap star. And he has joined up with a company called SMS Audio to create his line of stereo headphones and in-ear headphones. And the devices, the model that we reviewed here at Tech Guide was the Street by 50 DJ headphones. They're priced at $299.95, so just 5 cents short of $300. And as we said, they're Street by 50 DJ headphones, which means they have an articulated hinge so that if you are queuing a record or you just want to hear what's happening in the outside world, you can actually swing the ear cup off your ear. It swings forward and you can then hear what's happening outside. Now, sound quality is one of the three areas that 50 Cent identified as the most important parts of it, of course, sound quality, but the others were style and toughness. Toughness being the fact that you can use this every day, quite a durable product. They're not going to shy away from rough treatment. You can use them every day, pull them on, off, bend the head strap. It's not going to snap. It's quite durable. Style as well is pretty minimal, but it does look pretty not as compact as we would have liked, but the styling and the design allow for another feature that we quite like, though, was the passive noise cancellation. By their design, the ear cups enclose your whole ear and actually press in slightly, not uncomfortably, but slightly, to create that noise isolation, that seal that cuts out that ambient noise. Now, being passive noise cancellation means that there's no power required to cancel the noise, so there is no need for external microphones to negate any outside noise. That would be active noise cancellation. In the DJ Street by 50 DJ headphones, passive noise cancellation worked quite well. We were, when during our review, we couldn't hear, even if a TV was on a meter from our ears, we couldn't hear it. If someone was talking to us, same deal. Unfortunately, though, there's no airplane adapter, so that dual pin plug included in the device. This would have been a handy device, a handy set of headphones to take on a flight with you, but you're left to your own devices by without that dual aircraft plug. But look, sound quality, I quite liked. I'm very fussy with my sound quality. This delivered in all areas, really nice bass, great mid-level, and all the detail you want at the top end. Gave a nice rounded music or a sound to enjoy your music, any type of music, whether it's classical music, rap, rock, you name it, this device could handle it quite well. Their price, as I said, are $299.95. They come with a hard case, two cords, a straight cord which has a button and microphone, so you can use it with a smartphone. There is also another DJ cord, which is a coiled cord, slightly longer if you are actually using it as a DJ rather than just listening. So we have interesting stereo headphones, stereo by 50 DJ headphones from our good friend 50 Cent, Fitty as he's known to his close friends and fans. Well worth checking out. They're $100 cheaper than the Dr. Dre headphones. In my opinion, probably only slightly down from the Dr. Dre's, but you do save $100 in the deal. I don't think the Dr. Dre's are $100 better than this, so you're getting decent value. If you want to read the full review, you can do so at techguide.com.au. Now, I think 2013 is going to follow in 2012's footsteps as a year for tablet devices, and in particular, Windows 8 tablet devices. Now, Windows 8 was released late last year. October, November was when all the devices were hitting the market. But one thing about Windows 8, it is optimized for touch. So the operating system can work just as well on a desktop, on a laptop, on a tablet, and on a smartphone. Now, in the tablet arena, ASUS have come up with the VivoTab 810, a Windows 8 tablet that has a dual-core 1.8 gigahertz processor. It's an Intel Atom dual-core processor, a screen resolution, a HD resolution of 1366 by 768, 11.6 inches of screen, which is plenty of room for you to use Windows 8 at its full potential. It also comes with a Wacom stylus. Now, Wacom are the company that used to make those, or still do, make those tablets that you, not this kind of tablet, but a graphics tablet that allows you to use it as a mouse for fine detail, a very, very fine entry and detailed pin, like for drawing and graphics and things like that. I can't quite find the words to describe it, but I think you get my drift. What this allows for now, the VivoTab, this Wacom stylus, is to, rather than have to use a separate tablet, it allows you then for that finer entry and graphic sketching and etching with the stylus directly on the tablet screen, right within the application, whether it's Photoshop or Illustrator, whatever is running on the tablet. You can interact now with the Wacom stylus. But it doesn't end there. The tablet, while it's in tablet mode, is all well and good, but it does come with a keyboard dock. So if you want to get down to business, you need to write something, produce something, get some work done, get some, perhaps be more productive, it does come with a full keyboard dock. Now, there are many advantages of this. Apart from there, you having a full keyboard, you've also got a trackpad. It also adds two USB ports to the equation. It attaches with a what they call a hidden hinge, so that once the screen is attached to the keyboard dock, it looks just like a laptop. But what else the keyboard dock also brings to the table is a battery. Now, there's a battery in the tablet itself and also in the keyboard dock. So the two devices combined, once it's connected to the keyboard dock, you've got a combined mobile charge of up to 19 hours, which means plenty of productivity. You can charge this probably after 2 to full days in the office. and out and about. It's a sort of hybrid device that gives you, for those who are tossing up whether should I buy a tablet, should I buy a laptop, well, with the VivoTab 810, you're actually buying both. It gives you the option of using it in tablet mode and then attaching it with a keyboard dock and using it in laptop mode. Well worth checking out. It's priced at $1,099. Available now from retailers JB Hi-Fi, Harvey Norman, and Dick Smith Electronics. There's a report and pictures at techguide.com.au. Handy device if you want a tablet, but also have a keyboard to go with it, so you kind of got a laptop and a tablet in one. Check out the review, techguide.com.au.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
Now, anyone who's ever owned a printer will appreciate the fact that it's not the cheapest product to run. And the main reason behind that is because of expensive things, consumables like printer cartridges, toner cartridges, which can significantly add costs, not only to the actual device, the actual cartridges themselves, but running costs, printing costs, the bottom line can be seriously affected. Well, Fuji Xerox has come up with a printer, a multifunction printer, that has done away with cartridges altogether. Now, it does this, the ColorCube 8900 multifunction device, does this using solid ink color technology. Now, instead of using a cartridge, the device uses solid ink sticks. And as I've described in my story on Tech Guide, they kind of look like square crayons. These are, you still need to get your black, cyan, magenta, and yellow. But rather than being contained in a cartridge, they look like little block, square-shaped crayons. Now, what you do, you drop these into the relevant slots on the printer, and those crayons, the solid ink, actually melt to produce the ink to print out your pictures, documents with stunning results. So not only has it made it a lot cheaper to update your to replace your cartridges, because there are no cartridges, it uses the solid ink, it also is more environmentally friendly. Printer related waste is reduced by 90%, so there's nothing going to end up in landfills because your solid ink is going to be used up by being melted by the ColorCube 8900 and then turn that into the ink that's required by the print heads to print out your documents and your pictures. Now, it's a multifunction printer, so it's got printing, scanning, copying, and no word yet on the prices. It's still, I haven't reviewed the product yet. I've only just reported on the fact that the solid ink technology exists. There are some pictures on Tech Guide of these solid ink blocks. So the cartridge seems to have gone out the window. We all know how expensive they are. So if you're looking to save a lot of money but yet still maintain print quality, then check out the Fuji Xerox ColorCube 8900. Now, did you or someone in your household get a new tablet or smartphone for Christmas? Perhaps you've bought a product to go back to school. You bought a tablet for your child or a laptop for them to go back to school. Well, the amount of mobile devices we're now connecting to the home network is increasing, and a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. So if you've experienced any annoying Wi-Fi dead spots around your home when using your mobile or wireless devices, Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and improve your online experience. Universal compatibility means you can keep all of your current wireless equipment, and CD-less installation makes setup easy on mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming things like HD video content and maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to stay connected and boost your Wi-Fi coverage to improve your online experience in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost my Wi-Fi. Now, the world of smartphones is a very, very competitive one, and the latest figures released by Juniper Research indicates that more than 200 million smartphones were sold worldwide in just the fourth quarter of 2012. That is a huge increase over the previous year. And the product leading the way, the company leading the way, is Samsung. Samsung, in fact, accounted in that quarter for 1 in 3 smartphone sales. In that quarter alone, Samsung sold 63 million units, or 30% of all shipments for the quarter. And the product that was the hero once again was the Galaxy S3. Now, in the month of November alone, it sold 40 million devices. Now, Apple weren't far behind at second. They still had record quarterly sales of 47.8 million iPhones, boosted, of course, by the release of the iPhone 5 in September. It was actually a record quarter, yet in the news it was reported that Apple stocks were still dropping because this figure, the 47.8 million figure, was still below company expectations. Just on that, there was also record iPad sales, and yet stock prices still were drifting downwards. Juniper Research says Apple are still in the game. All they need to do is to continue focusing on innovation, because it seems to me that the other companies, Samsung, Google with their smartphones, and other companies like you'll see more from Sony Mobile, LG, HTC, even BlackBerry possibly, they're all coming back to the field. They've been brought Apple back to the field, and Apple need to produce a dazzling product, not only a smartphone, but a new iPad or other types of products. There's talk of a TV or a smart watch. They've got to produce a product like that to kick away from the opposition once again. But the fourth quarter sales took the yearly total to 671 million smartphone sales in 2012, which is an amazing 42% increase on 2011 sales figures. Now, it wasn't all about Samsung and Apple. There was also some good news there for Nokia. They recorded sales of 6.6 million smart devices, and 4.4 million of those were actually Lumia products, their new Windows 8 and Windows 7 from the previous year, their new Windows phones. Nokia, though, far from their glory days, they still recorded a $3 billion loss for the year. Yet the bright side of all that is that for the fourth quarter of 2012, they posted a $586 million profit. Now, the company that's been doing it really tough and bleeding users is BlackBerry. Now, next week, or I should say later this week, BlackBerry are going to unveil their new BlackBerry 10 operating system, as well as a range of products, a range of devices that will be running that new operating system. Now, according to Juniper Research, they say that the company will still struggle for decent market share. It may attract a few people to the fold. I think BlackBerry have lost a lot of customers to Android and iPhone, especially not only individual customers, but also a lot of corporate customers that have changed their fleet of products over from a BlackBerry to an iPhone or an Android product. So I think BlackBerry have their work cut out for them, but hopefully, and we'll talk about this on next week's show, the BlackBerry 10 operating system may give them a bit of a boost and win back some customers from those other platforms. But time will tell. I'm looking forward to talking more about the BlackBerry platform in the weeks to come. But Samsung still leading there, still rule the roost, number one, followed by Apple at number two. Samsung appear to be going strength to strength with the Galaxy S3. Before we know it, we're going to be seeing the Galaxy S4, the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. The huge mobile phone trade show is on in a matter of weeks in Barcelona. So that could well be the place where Samsung take the wraps off the Galaxy S4 with probably a May to June release. But we'll tell you all about that here at Tech Guide as soon as we find out.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, Kickstarter is a site that allows budding entrepreneurs to create products and gauge the interest in those products before they've got to actually commit their own money to the product. So it's kind of a way to float an idea to potential customers. If they like that idea, they can back the idea, you know, send their money, whether they want to be a part backer or a full backer. There's various packages on offer depending on the product or app that's being offered there. And oftentimes what happens, that product reaches a certain limit. It needs a certain amount to go from prototype to production. And it is the number of backers determine that. If there are enough backers, means there's enough demand, and means they're going to go ahead and make it. Now, with that information, I want to tell you about a product that actually we wrote about here at Tech Guide that was floated on Kickstarter a number of months ago. It was the Sire Bluetooth iPod Nano smartwatch. Now, at the time, and this was months ago where we wrote this original story, the only Nano that existed was the old square iPod Nano that never had any Bluetooth, was small enough to be worn as a watch. A lot of people, including myself, actually used to wear it as a watch. And what Sire decided to do, Sire is a company, a product name from the company Lion Hound Technology. And what they did, they proposed a Bluetooth smart watch that will turn the iPod Nano into a smartwatch. We're using a slimline case that goes over the iPod Nano, which includes a Bluetooth chip that then connects to the 30-pin connector and then allows it to wirelessly connect to things like headphones, earphones, and other products, speaker systems, things like that. Now, the product, when it was first floated, looked pretty good, looked very attractive, and they had a lot of backers, more than 1,300 as a matter of fact, that raised a total of $133,000 to get the design into production. Now, we were given a bit of a heads up here at Tech Guide. One of our readers who had first read about the Sire Bluetooth watch when we reported it a number of months ago, and this reader, he said to us, I decided to back this product on the strength of the story that was written on Tech Guide. So it gave us a little bit of interest in the story, and we wanted to take it to investigate a little more. Well, what's happened is the product has now gone into final production. The final version of the product has been released. But the unfortunate thing is, though, that the final product looks very little like the original prototype. And a lot of backers are complaining and leaving comments on the Kickstarter page demanding a refund. Now, if there are pictures on Tech Guide, if you want to head to our website and check out the differences, the original design looked very sleek, very thin, but the final design has the similar sort of watch band design, but with a much larger Bluetooth chip protruding from the top of the phone, adding at least another centimeter of size, of looking very, very bulky on your wrist. It looks way too big to wear at your wrist. Looks like the new iPod Nano, which already has Bluetooth on board. It looks almost that big. So on the strength of that, people were appalled to see that the product that they saw when they initially invested bore little resemblance to the final product, and hence the reason for this outrage. And it was pointed out to us by one of our friendly readers here. There's been several comments to say, I'll quote a couple here, "Nothing is described. I can understand a small change, but not this. It was bulky and ugly, very different to the first designed item. Put me down for a refund," said another investor. "The watch is nowhere near the proposed design." Now, the company CEO came out and responded to those comments and said, "I understand that some are unhappy with the design changes relating to the size of the chip used to provide Bluetooth connectivity. While we have worked diligently to retain the original design cues and are quite happy with the outcome, we respect the opinion of those who feel differently. Refunds are available to be issued until closer to product shipment, since all proceeds being used to complete the project. We are pushing forward as diligently as possible. Good luck to anyone who has invested and does want their refund." It was one product that really sort of misled a little people at the start. Final product was looked very little like the original sleek, slimmer product, and hence people are up in arms and wanting their money back. But if you want to see those images to see the difference from the original proposed design to the final design, you can see them at techguide.com.au.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
The question for today's Tech Guide Help Desk actually comes from one of our readers at the Tech Guide Forum. And this reader asked, "Well, how do I get my iPod pictures up on my TV?" We often taking photos with either our iPods or our iPhones or any other smartphone. And one way we can do it, especially if you're using iProducts, an iPhone or an iPod, connecting our content from our smartphones or our computers for that matter to the TV is with the Apple TV. Apple TV is a small black square product. slightly smaller than the area of a CD case, about two centimetres thick. And it connects to your TV and then wirelessly or with an Ethernet connection back to your network. So what it allows you to do is to access the content on your computer, if you've linked a computer, or wirelessly access content on your phone, things like videos and photos. So if there's one way you want to get your photos on your screen, you may want to do a slideshow, show someone a photo you've just taken, then you, if you want to do that on your TV, the biggest screen in the house, then you need to connect an Apple TV. As long as the Apple TV and your smartphone or computer are connected to the same network, you can share content. So you can even watch movies that you may have in your iTunes library, listen to your music, podcasts, including this one, hopefully, and also view your other content, view your pictures and other things like that. But Apple TV also allows you to AirPlay, send whether it's a video or images, whatever, allows you to automatically send it from your iPhone. And some other products too that are non-Apple products have embraced the AirPlay standard there. Allows you to display that content on your television. I use Apple TV quite a bit. The latest version actually supports full HD. The previous versions went only up to 720p for video. But they, if you wanted to use your pictures on your screen, I think the question that our reader sent into us is they wanted to use pictures, their own images, as a screensaver. It allows you to do that. The Apple TV, once you're in your photo album mode, you can set it so that your latest images, whether it's from a particular event, your photo stream, can actually fill your screen with it tiles your pictures on your screen, so it acts like a bit of a screen saver. So hopefully that's answered their question. It's one easy way to share, especially of Apple product content, to your television wirelessly, or if you want to connect your Apple TV to your router with a cable, it will still wirelessly connect though to other products in the house, as long as they're all on the same network. Apple TV helps to get your content on the best screen in your house, and that would be your television. Well, that's all we've got for you this week. If there's any more information you need about anything we spoke about in this episode, you can find it at our website, techguide.com.au. We'd also like to hear from you, and you can get in touch by emailing us at info@techguide.com.au. And you can also send us your help desk questions to the Tech Guide forum, as was seen tonight. A forum question ended up right here on the Tech Guide help desk on our podcast. We'd also like to thank our good sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Well, that's a wrap for episode 31. Thanks for listening. We look forward to your company next week. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.